Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to a rare Monday installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here today. CycloneFanatic.com, brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. It is the dawning of a new era with Iowa State basketball. It's official now. The 21st head coach in the history of the program is, drumroll, Steve Prohme from Murray State. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I mean, other than the brief amount of research that I've done here over the last couple of weeks with the different candidates who we've known we're going to interview for Iowa State, I don't know a ton about this guy, so I thought I would call my friend. He's a national basketball writer for Fox Sports. Reed Forgrave, again from Fox Sports, joins us. Hey, Reed, how are you doing today, man? Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. And, this is kind of cool news. I'm glad it happened. They didn't drag it out longer than, I guess it was about a week, but cool news.
I saw immediately on Twitter when the news popped up, you called, how did you refer to Prohme, like Hoiberg-ish?
Hoiberg-ian, I believe.
Hoiberg-ian.
My mom's a high school English teacher, so I know how to properly phrase it. Hoiberg-ian, that sounds right, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that sounds good, and that's going to be a positive thing for the folks listening. What makes you call Steve Prohme Hoibergian?
Well, a couple things. One is, and I know this, a lot of people would say, who cares about this? But he's a very likable dude. He's not the world's most outgoing guy. He's a little bit understated like Fred. He understands that this is a game that's about the players more than it is about the coach. He was also a basketball player in college, but this is not Hoibergian. He was not a very good player. He was someone who he's known that he wanted to be a coach since he was really, really young. So he actually quit playing basketball his freshman year in college and decided to pursue coaching through like student manager stuff. The other side of this, the non-personality side, is the style of basketball, at least the last couple years at Murray State, was both up-tempo and efficient, which, by the way, like those two things tend to not always go together that well, but that means that he plays a fast, fun style of basketball. At least he did when he had a pick point guard in Cameron Payne last year at Murray State. And his teams know how to score. So, to me, look, I was in favor of TJ. I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens with TJ now. Will he stay for this year, which I would assume he would? Will he stay for longer than that, which I would assume he does not? I had thought TJ was perfect for this job because I liked the idea of continuity. That said, I don't think there was a bad choice among the four that they interviewed. Prohme to me, it seems like a very good hire. I mean, if you're coming up with a list of up and coming coaches throughout college basketball, young up-and-coming coaches, he's on everybody's list, absolutely everybody's list. So this, to me, it's a very good hire, and everyone has a question mark next to him. His question mark is, can he recruit at a high major level? We'll see. TJ's question mark was, he's never been a head coach before, so you're, no matter who you hire, you're going to take a risk. But this strikes me as a very good hire for Iowa State.
Here's kind of the way I look at it. Otzelberger was a risk because of the head coaching, like you just pointed out. With the rest of these guys, I kind of just feel like, you know, these mid-major guys are kind of just 50-50. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just looking here in the state of Iowa, McDermott, Licklider, Fran McCaffrey appears to be working out on the other side of the state. The one thing I do like about Prohme, though, compared to those other guys, one is the style. Two, he's gotten NBA players to Murray State, to Murray, Kentucky, yeah. Right? I mean, that's encouraging, yeah. Isn't it?
And that, to me, says, look, automatically you're going to have to recruit at a higher level, but automatically you're going to have better players want to come to your school when you go to a Big 12 after being at the Ohio Valley Conference. But the fact that he had Isaiah Canaan and then Cameron Payne, who's probably going to be a lottery pick in this year's draft, both point guards, it brought him to Murray State, and then he was able to, that's very smart recruiting. And that's one thing that Fred and his staff did really well. I mean, to be able to get George Niang and jump on him before the rest of the country really saw him back in high school was that was smart recruiting more than it was great recruiting. So to me, that's what this tells me is the student, he gets talent. He can see what players could develop into, and he knows how to develop players. And this also strikes me as good news for Monte Morris. I mean, this is a guy who's sent two point guards to the NBA, and Cameron Payne's a very different style of point guard than Monte Morris. He's a scorer. Monte is a facilitator, but I don't think that means that it just is married to only having a scoring point guard just because that was his most recent iteration. The fact that he has now sent two point guards to the NBA, if you're Monte Morris, you got to be excited about the possibilities here.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing, so you were much more in the middle of this than I was. The one thing that I, when you say Steve Prohm, before this whole experience, I always thought of the guy who was fiercely sticking up for his team when they got, even before they got snubbed out of the NCAA tournament. I just remember him appearing on national shows and, you know, really, really sticking up for his guys. Fairly, you said likable, but what did you remember about that, Reed? Because that's, again, above style of play, above anything, that's what stood out to me about this guy early on in the process.
No, absolutely. I spoke with him, I'm trying to remember, I think it was a Sunday game in the Ohio Valley Conference championship game this past year. And it was a week before all the other conference tournaments took place. And basically, all the numbers said this is a one-bid league. And if you looked at RPI and you looked at, you know, the body of work and how many top 50 and top 100 teams Murray State beat throughout the year, it was like, okay, they didn't win. They lost on this absolute heartbreak. So there's no chance this team's going to make the tournament. But then you look into the nuances of it, how he explained it. And I spoke with him, I can't remember, it was either Monday or Tuesday right after that. And look into the nuances, and it was like, hey, we had some pretty big injuries early in the year when we lost, I think, three games in a row. And then they had a 25-game winning streak, which was the second longest winning streak in college basketball last year next to Kentucky. And if you go back historically, like, there aren't many teams that win 25 games in a row. I don't care what conference you're in. He was out there. He was something for his team. And I think he was actually right in this. Like, you look at some of the high major teams that sneak into the NCAA tournament, you're like, and Murray State doesn't get in? That makes no sense to me. And the cool part, what really struck me about all this when I spoke with him for about, I don't know, 20 or 25 minutes that day, was he was literally on the way to the hospital that night. He and his wife had a C-section scheduled for their first kid. And he had kind of timed this out and planned the delivery so it would be during that week. He expected the team was going to go to the NCAA tournament. Mm. They should have gone to the NCAA tournament. So here he is playing at NIT, a new dad, and it was just a pretty cool story, pretty just crazy week for this guy. And here he is coming to Iowa State, and again, it's like, yeah, it's a guy who sticks up for his players. I think that's one part of that story. It's a guy who really believes and really has confidence and isn't afraid to put himself out there.
His mentor was Billy Kennedy, who's now at Texas A&M. Crazy enough, they're going to play each other this year because Iowa State gets Texas A&M in that Big 12 SEC Challenge. Tell me a little bit about Billy Kennedy, because if this is a guy who's taught Steve Prohm everything he knows, I want to know a little bit more about A&M's head coach.
Okay, he's not someone that I know particularly well, but I mean, he is a guy who worked his way up from the bottom of the bottom. I mean, where these two met was at Centenary College. And if you can tell me where Centenary College is, that I'll buy you a beer next time I'm at the bait shop. Do you know where Centenary College is?
No.
I don't until I just looked it up on Wikipedia.
I don't know.
D3 school in Shreveport, Louisiana. So this is a guy who really worked his way up. And who, by the way, at Texas A&M is now recruiting at a very high level. These guys have made quite a few splashes over the past year or two. And that's going to be an NCAA tournament team this year. I would feel pretty safe to say that. They've made very big progress. And that's not a place where basketball is very high on the list.
No.
But he's a guy who recruits at a high level, who has experience all over the country. And he was at Murray State for, I think, 5 years and really built that into, and I know we don't talk about Murray State at the level that we talk about, like, mid-major schools that are mid-national splashes like VCU or Gonzaga, or I guess Xavier people used to consider a mid-major school. But this is, when you're talking about sort of the really below-the-radar mid-major schools, this is one of the best mid-major programs in the country. And Kennedy pretty much passed the reins to Steve Prohm. Steve Prohm took it to the next level.
Does it remind you of Butler? I mean, I just feel like it's kind of like a mini Butler, how they're cranking out head coaches there.
Yeah, very mini, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a fairly small school that most people haven't really heard of, except for in March, in the middle of a basketball-centered state.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. Similar to Butler. And if you look at the coaches they've had, I'm trying to remember all the coaches they had. There's like Nick Cronin went from there to have success in at Cincinnati. And then obviously Kennedy, now Steve Prohm, I think will have success here. Mark Gottfried, he was the other one. Say what you will about his style of coaching, but Mark Gottfried is definitely a guy who's had plenty of success at NC State. So Steve Prohm, I thought he was going to be the next Alabama coach. I know he had ties at Alabama, and that went to Avery Johnson. And I think Steve Prohm, what he got here is a better job at a better school, I think.
Reed, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sounds good, buddy.